Foe no more. An historic new era of US-Cuba ties begins. The US President Barack Obama and the Cuban President Raul Castro came face-to-face on the weekend in the first exchange between American and a Cuban leader in more than 50 years. Meeting on the sidelines of the Americas summit in Panama, the two men agreed to push ahead in improving relations after decades of hostility.
The fact that President Castro and I are both sitting here today marks a historic occasion. I think it's no secret, President Castro, I'm sure, would agree that there will continue to be significant differences between our two countries. The Cold War has been over for a long time, and I'm not interested in having battles that, frankly, started before I was born.
U.S. President Barack Obama speaking after his historic meeting with Raul Castro over the weekend. And that meeting followed a landmark agreement, you remember, in December to normalize relations, including restore diplomatic ties that were broken off by Washington in 1961. The U.S. president has already relaxed some restrictions on travel and trade with Cuba, although a long-standing economic embargo remains, and it's still unclear whether Cuba will remain on the U.S. terror list. Ted Pacon is a senior fellow with the Latin America Initiative in the Foreign Policy Program at Brookings Institute. He's a former senior policy advisor to the Clinton administration. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Ted Pacon, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning to you.
How significant was this meeting, the meeting itself and the optics of the meeting, between President Obama and President Castro for Americans and perhaps even more importantly for Cubans?
I think it was hugely significant. I mean, the breakthrough of December 17th was remarkable in and of itself, but this is the first time that the two leaders actually met face-to-face, and that resonates deeply, I think, across not only American publics, but in Cuba as well. There was a recent poll that came out of Cubans that gave very high positive approval of President Obama. So I think there's a recognition on the Cuban people's part that this is a historic positive change for their own futures as well.
And what of real change and how quickly real change? You know, back in December, it was some kind of reintroduction of relations was announced by the president that included reestablishing diplomatic ties and reopening embassies. Has that happened? What sort of time frame we're looking at for that?
Right. I mean, I think it has not happened yet, but talks have begun and they have made progress. And I think the meeting of the two presidents will further advance that agenda. There are some sticking points in order to open up embassies in each capital, although we do have a representation there as the Cubans who here with very limited mobility of our diplomats and their diplomats. So that has to change. Both sides want it to change, but they need to work out some details still. And one of those issues is the terrorism list. That makes it very difficult for Cuba to find a bank to do business with in the United States because banks are staying away from that country until they're off the terrorism list. But I think that progress will continue. It has only been 3 or 4 months after, you know, 50-plus years of no relations or very little relations. So this is going to take some time, and I think everyone needs to be a little patient, but it's very positive.
And why is the U.S. State Department's listing of Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism? That happened back in 1982. Why does that remain a stumbling block? Is there still a fear, or is Cuba still regarded in that way? Is the president reluctant to be seen to be going soft on terrorists? Is there a Republican push to try and promote that image? What's the internal politics here for America, for the U.S.?
I think it has to do with the very powerful lobby that has really controlled U.S. policy toward Cuba for the last many years, who are using the terrorism argument to say that Cuba is still sponsoring terrorism, but the argument is quite thin. They're relying mostly on the fact that Cuba does have American fugitives from justice that we would like to try back here in the United States. The Cubans, of course, feel the same way, that there are Cubans that they would like to prosecute in Cuba. That issue will have to be negotiated, but that is not what qualifies a country to be on the terrorism list. They have to be actively supporting international terrorism, and the evidence is just not there.
Ted, why is the U.S. president moving so determinedly on this? What is in it for America? Is there an economic imperative here, or is it just about good relations with neighbors?
The president made it clear back in 2008 and 2009 that he wanted to find a new path forward of engagement with Cuba. It took longer than he had hoped for a number of political reasons, mainly, including the arrest of an American contractor in Cuba. Once that got resolved last December, I think the policy is full forward. I think the president has his legacy in mind, and both presidents do. And he has only less than two years to secure that legacy. And it was very important for his approach to the region. It was very clear from many countries who said, we will not go to Panama summit if Cuba is not invited. And so the U.S. is really put in a corner and decided, okay, we will move forward with this engagement policy and therefore have a smoother relationship with the rest of the region.
All right, Ted, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Ted Pacon is a senior fellow with Latin America Initiative in the Foreign Policy Program at Brookings Institute. I was wondering whether this was being led by those Detroit carmakers desperate to sell new cars into Cuba. When you see those images of the cars, they could do with an upgrade of the fleet, that's for sure.